Welcome to Mom Talk with Maria Bailey. For the next hour, join Maria as she takes on topics important to you. Finances, raising children, and dealing with your husband through his tough times and yours. This is the place to be as Maria and her guests bring you a wealth of information on all of these topics. Now, Maria Bailey on Mom Talk Radio.
Welcome to this edition of Mom Talk Radio. It's a pleasure to be here with you. I am guest hosting for Maria Bailey. This is Mary Donlin. It is always a pleasure to be here with you. Maria is somewhere over the probably the middle of the United States flying as she travels so much for work. So I hope you have enjoyed your week. It is nice to be here with you on this wonderful end of the weekend. And first, we'd like to obviously mention our sponsor, Land's End. And LandsEnd.com right now is showing, of course, fall, winter clothing. And there's some beautiful Land's End jackets you can take advantage of. And as we know, last Friday was the official beginning of fall. So I hope the temperatures have cooled down somewhat in what was really a crazy weather summer. So check out LandsEnd.com. They're showing some nice fall and winter looks. And, of course, you can always call 1-800-800-5800 to order on the phone or go to LandsEnd.com and find a local Land's End shop at a Sears store. So let's get into our show. We have a great lineup for you. We have Dr. Meg Meeker, who is author of The 10 Habits of Happy Mothers, Reclaiming Our Passion, Purpose, and Sanity. And don't we all need that? Dr. Meeker is a physician and a pediatrician, so she's highly educated and I'm sure is going to have a great information to tell us. And then we'll talk to Colleen Burns, Mom on the Run, who is a local and national TV celebrity. So Colleen will talk about the Lance Sandwich Crackers After School Crunch Time Tips campaign. We'll have the Mom Talk Radio Moms Roundtable, and then we'll finally end the show with Emily Kirkpatrick, Vice President of the National Center for Family Literacy. So we're going to talk about Wonderopolis with her. So as we jump into the show, I would like to mention one really neat contest we are conducting here at Mom Talk Radio and BSN Media. It is the Wyndham Vacation Rentals Ultimate Family Reunion Contest. It costs nothing to enter this contest. You go to WyndhamRentals.com/contest, and you enter a photo and a 100-word essay about what is unique or a family vacation memory that's special to you. And you enter at that website. And as of you have up to October 14th to enter the contest. And then from October 14th to, I believe it's the first week in November, Wyndham will be picking the top 20 entries. And then that second phase from November to December is going to be a voting phase. There are 101 vacations, 101. So the grand prize vacation for 10 up to $28,000 U.S. So this is an amazing deal. And then throughout the whole contest, too, they're giving away the other 100 vacations. So WyndhamRentals.com/contest is where you can find out more information. So when we come back, we're going to be joined by our first guest, and we will be talking to Dr. Meg Meeker. She's a physician and a pediatrician, author of The 10 Habits of Happy Mothers, Reclaiming Our Passion, Purpose, and Sanity. We'll be right back on Mom Talk Radio.
Even supermoms need a little advice. Here's yours. More of Mom Talk Radio.
Mary Donlin sitting in for Maria Bailey on Mom Talk Radio. And I'm pleased to introduce our first guest for the show, Dr. Meg Meeker, a physician, a pediatrician, working with children and their parents for over 25 years. She's the mother of 4 grown children and lives with her husband in Traverse City, Michigan. Hi, Dr. Meeker.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
I have a very good friend that lives in Petoskey.
Oh, it's very close to us, just a little bit north of us. Yes,
yes,
very beautiful.
Yeah. So let's talk about your book, and it's a very intriguing title, The 10 Habits of Happy Mothers, Reclaiming Our Passion, Purpose, and Sanity. What was the inspiration for the book?
Well, you know, as a pediatrician, I've listened to thousands of mothers over the years, and one of the things that I've seen happen, particularly over the past 6 to 8 years, is this increasing sense that mothers are living with a lot of stress. They come into my office, almost feel like they're ready to sort of topple over the edge. And I think that, honestly, a lot of it comes from the fact that their expectations of what they are to do and be as mothers has really gotten way out of line, I think. And, you know, mothers feel that they are to make sure their kids are happy all the time, provide every opportunity for them all the time, sort of be their everything. And it's really wearing a lot of mothers out, and I think it's really robbing them of a lot of the joy that they should have as mothers. And I, you know, I write as a mom myself. My kids are grown now. My husband and I are empty nesters, but I really wanted to sort of drill down and figure out where is a lot of this coming from, and then what can I, as one who's sort of observed moms for many years, do to encourage mothers to regain their joy in being moms.
Well, that's fantastic, and I can tell you just from my experience and having plenty of mom friends that you're right. It seems we have almost unrealistic goals or expectations, and when we don't meet them, I think we take it so personally. What's the biggest mistake do you think moms make?
Well, I think the biggest mistake is where we put the kids at the center of our lives. That the moment a child is born, that we start orbiting around the child rather than the child fitting into the family scheme. And it's very subtle, but I think that this is what really trips mothers off. Yes, we're supposed to sacrifice for our kids, and we're supposed to work very hard for our kids, and most certainly I'm not advocating being self-centered. But right. I think that when a child's wishes and needs trump everything else in the family, everything gets thrown off balance, and mothers feel it most keenly. And I think, you know, that's probably the biggest mistake I would point to, where, you know, everything that the child wants to do trumps mom's needs, and that should not be.
Well, and I think in most families that have two or more children too, we have to start talking about the common good, not an individual's
exactly. And what's best for the family as a unit. And
right.
I think that, you know, that this is very important, because I'm a firm believer that if mom and dad are feeling healthy and they're on solid footing and life is good, then everything else will work in the family. But if we get off kilter and we're only paying attention to the kids' needs and the kids' wishes, and we see this all over the place as families are splitting on the weekends and going in all different directions, which is fine periodically, but when you never have the family coming together as a unit and sitting down and sort of talking and being together and enjoying one another's company, then that's where, you know, child's wishes have really usurped everything else in the family, and it just is not healthy for anybody.
Right. So we talked about some of the things that moms might do wrong or mistakes. So what do you see in your experience that moms are doing right?
Oh, moms are doing tons right. Thank you for asking me, because I hate to just, you know, it's not a finger-pointing book. It really is.
Right.
I believe, you know, this job of being mothers is supposed to be enjoyed. I mean, we are really supposed to like it. And last spring I read a poll that said 46% of mothers just don't feel very happy with their lives, and to me that's very sad. I don't think that mothers have tried harder at any time in history than they are right now. Mothers' hearts are in the right place. We are working so hard, actually working a lot harder, doing a lot of things than we really need to do. You know, we forget about what our kids really want from us and what they really need from us, which is our time, our personality, sitting and enjoying them, listening to them, talking with them. We've turned into being performers as mothers rather than moms. And mothers are really working so very, very hard. So really my book is about just sort of turning a lot of our efforts in a little bit different direction, which I believe will help mothers really enjoy life again, settle down, take a big deep breath, and be good enough for our kids and let a lot of stuff go, which is what we really need to do.
Absolutely. Well, that's great advice. So where can we find the book? And also, as the second question, MegMeekerMD.com is your website. Do you offer any kind of tips, advice,
absolutely. I love to hear from listeners and readers. Write to me on MegMeekerMD.com. I also have a Facebook page.
Great.
I love questions. But I encourage people to go to their local bookstore and find the book. It's everywhere. And if not, you can go to Amazon. Everything's on Amazon.
That's right.
And my book is there as well.
Okay, great. So if you had, one thing that's standing out for me is your a quote in here about parenting out of fear. I think that affects a lot of moms as well. How do you explain that?
Oh, very much so. You know, there are so many levels in which we parent out of fear. Sometimes we don't say no to our kids because we fear their response.
Exactly.
If we say no, they'll be unhappy, then they won't like us, then they'll disengage, and then they'll run away and get into sex, drugs, and alcohol. You know, this is the way we operate. So we tiptoe around our kids sometimes. We sign them up for a lot of things because we're afraid that they're going to miss the boat. They're going to fall behind. They won't have the opportunity that their friend has. We are so afraid of failing as mothers that we do all sorts of crazy things. And
right.
I believe strongly that we as mothers should never parent out of fear. We should parent out of strength. That we should decide what we believe is right and good and best for our kids. Do it, stand by it, and let a lot of this stuff go. You know, we're so competitive. I wrote a whole chapter on mothers in competition. We're so competitive with other mothers, even with our very good friends. We don't mean to be. That's kind of how we've been trained to be, that we push our kids to keep up and keep up and keep up because we're afraid that if we don't push them to keep up, we don't know what will happen, but maybe they won't get into the college.
Right, right. Well, Dr. Meeker, thank you so much for the wonderful advice, and it's a pleasure talking to you. And your book is available, as you said, at bookstores on Amazon.com, and your website is MegMeekerMD.com. Thank you so much. And when we return, we'll be talking to Colleen Burns, the mom on the run who appears on local and national TV. We'll be right back. For Maria Bailey, hosting Mom Talk Radio. It's a pleasure to be here with you, with our second guest, who is Colleen Burns, the mom on the run. Colleen has a psychology degree, a degree in childhood education, and raising five sons is her real-life experience. Wow. Welcome, Colleen.
Hi, Mary. Thanks for having me.
You have guest appearances on several top shows, Weather Channel and PBS, et cetera. Tell us what you're doing now.
I guess I found out after having five boys and how busy my life became that the news business was a little difficult to fit in with my schedule. And so now I do a lot of work online and talking to moms and looking for ways to make life a little easier and to work smarter, not harder, and to find those products and those tips and those ideas that help all of us moms live life a little easier.
You're involved with a partnership with Lance Sandwich Crackers, and it's called the After School Crunch Time Tips. Wow, I couldn't say that fast enough. Tell us about that campaign.
I have just now kind of eased back into that back-to-school routine. It takes a little while. There's that transition time when kids are adjusting and you're adjusting and just trying to get used to those start times and when to get to bed and when to get up. And now that we're kind of back in that groove again, it's a great time to fine-tune your routine, especially the homework routine, because that is so much of school, and it has to do so much with your child's self-confidence and their mood and how things work at home and if it runs smoothly or not. So this is a great time to sort of take a hard look at how you're doing, what you're doing at home with your children. This partnership you've mentioned with Lance Sandwich Crackers, this is a great opportunity for me to talk to families about simple tips to make that after-school routine a little more enjoyable and productive. We've talked to some great teachers, and we've come up with basically three areas for tips: streamlining the after-school routine, making homework less work, and finding little ways to learn every day, even if it's not structured. And so, you know, the first next thing, when we talk about finding an after-school routine and making that work, you want to make sure that you have time after school, that the kids aren't pressured. And sometimes that means taking a little time off when your children come home. So not just right off the bus, right back into it again, hitting the books immediately. You might suggest that they take the dog for a walk or take a short little bike ride, just something to sort of cleanse their palate before they get back into school. Have a snack. That's always helpful. I talked to many teachers, but recently a teacher told me that if children are chewing, that helps sort of stimulate the brain activity. So finding a crunchy snack like an apple or crackers is a great way for kids to keep their focus and to concentrate. We mentioned my partnership, and the reason I like Lance Sandwich Crackers is because they have no preservatives, no high fructose corn syrup, 0 grams of fat, and real protein, so real cheese, real peanut butter, those things that really help a child sort of muscle through that after-school time before you get to dinner without a lot of empty calories. So
right. My daughter's favorite is the peanut butter one, so I know I feel good giving her that source of protein. And
another thing that I think parents have to keep in mind when they're talking to their children about their homework, and a lot of it is attitude and making sure your kids have a positive attitude about homework. Well, a couple of things. One, I think they really model your behavior. So if you can show them that you're organized, that you're making lists, that you're crossing off your items as you go, that you're less stressed because you're getting things done by the deadline, mentioning deadlines, mentioning that you now have free time because you did finish what you needed to finish by a certain time. I think that models for your children that it's not a good idea to procrastinate, that if you are organized and if you do cross things off, that it's very stress-free, that it's just, you know, a matter of getting it done. So that's something to model for your children. But also, I think you sometimes have to be an advocate for your children when they're overwhelmed, because most studies say that children should have about 10 minutes of homework per grade level. So, for example, a second-grade student would expect about 20 minutes of homework per night. Well, if your child is consistently getting more than that, or they're just overwhelmed with the amount they're getting, they might not feel like they can talk to their teacher about this, and it might be something that you might need to do, and maybe talk to your teachers, your kids' teachers, and just suggest that, you know, or bring up that your child is having some difficulty, and do they have any suggestions for how we can break this up? Because you're not alone. Your teachers obviously want to see your children succeed as well, and sometimes it's better to speak up sooner rather than later so that your children do keep that positive attitude. You always want them to be happy about going to school. Think of it as a good thing.
Well, thank you so much. You've given us really, really good advice, and everyone can get tips and product reviews and et cetera on your site called themomontherun.tv, correct? And what is the Lance Sandwich Cracker campaign information?
www.facebook.com/LanceSnacks. And you'll find some tips on homework, the after-school routine we're talking
Great.
About. And also, you can have a chance to win one of 20 homework caddies, which we fill with school supplies. And
oh, that's great.
Or one of five $500 Visa gift cards.
Oh, wow, that's terrific. Thank you so much, Colleen, for joining us. We'll be right back.
Mothers of America, this hour belongs to you. It's Mom Talk Radio with Maria Bailey.
This is Mary Donlan sitting in for Maria Bailey, and this is one of my favorite parts of Mom Talk Radio, the Moms Roundtable. Today we are going to be talking to two moms who I have met, and we are going to be talking about introducing a new baby to the family. So this is always a great topic, full of good information and emotions. Kate is our first guest. Kate blogs at theshoppingmama.com and is on Twitter at theshoppingmama. Kate has two children and is expecting her third in March, so this is a very timely topic for Kate. And then we're going to talk to Annie, who has three children, 4, 2, and 8 months. So actually, Annie can give us some up-to-date tips. And Annie Dweeb's at mamadweeb.com, on Twitter at mamadweeb. Welcome, ladies.
Hello.
Okay, so let's start with Kate. You are actually expecting. How are you feeling?
Okay.
Not enthusiastic. Kate, let's talk about how, well, you've already had two, so let's say, do you think you're going to do anything different when you introduce baby number three?
Yes, when my daughter was born, my son was 23 months old, and now when the third will be born, both of my kids will be older than that, so it seems like they'll definitely have more of an understanding of what's going on. They'll be almost 5.5 and 3.5 by the time the baby arrives. And actually, we haven't even told them that I'm expecting yet, because I really don't even know how to broach the topic. We, you know, it's every once in a while it will sort of come up, and my husband and I talk about it, but they really don't seem to have caught on. In fact, my son said the other day, "You're done having babies. You've had your babies." So, it will be exciting because I think they'll understand better what's going on, but that also really intimidates me because
right.
they'll know that everything's going to change.
Right. Yes. Annie, what about you? So when you introduced your newest 8-month-old, how did the 4 and 2-year-old take it?
Well, at the time I had a 3.5-year-old and a 20-month-old. So the 3.5-year-old, she saw my belly grow, and she was, you know, involved in the whole, we talked about it a lot, and she had her baby dolls. So she kind of, you know, was really excited to get to hold the baby finally. The 20-month-old, he was so little that he just kind of wanted to be my baby still. So I got help around me. I always had people around me. I tried.
Mm-hmm.
I had people around me so that they could take the baby so I could hold David and Lizzie and have time for them.
You know what? And that's a good point. When I had two right away, and then I had a pretty good gap. So I had, my middle was 4 years old when my last was born. And I remember I would, on purpose, even though she was four, she still, I think there was some jealousy there. I don't know if you all noticed that either, and I'd have to kind of make sure I hugged her just as much as I was holding the baby. Did you all see any, what positive emotions did you see, Kate?
Well, I think, remembering my son, he handled it really well. It was almost like he didn't even notice that there was this big change. And I think it will be different with my daughter, who now is the younger one, and she's now the baby, and lately she's been such a mama's girl. And obviously things will change by then, and she will grow quite a bit in the next 6 months. But it's still, I think it's going to be an adjustment for her more than my son. I think he'll be very excited and just way into it. But I think my daughter will take it as a slight a little bit. I think she'll have a hard time.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly how my house was. Annie, what about you? Now you've already had your third. So what emotions did you see amongst your 4 and 2-year-old, or your younger, 3.5 and 1.5 at the time?
Yes. Well, I did see jealousy issues with the two of them, except really they fell in love with the baby. I let them hold the baby as much as, you know, they wanted. And I always had them involved in some sort of process with taking care of the baby. And then, of course, always giving the baby up and me taking care of those older kids one-on-one was a huge help. As much as I wanted to take care of the baby all the time, I had to give my attention to them. And that helped so much. The emotions that they showed, they just fell in love with her now. She's 8 months old now, and they are in love with her. So,
and that's in a great, it's a great age too. Well, that's interesting because, and I obviously don't want to say it's all negative, because I think so much of it is just, as you've both said, getting them involved in the process. Even if it's watching changing a diaper, even I would have my daughter grab the diaper and, you know, bring it to me and those kind of things. So, what about feeding? Kate, are you going to let your older child feed the baby, or are you, that's a no go.
I think, and this also happened with my son when my daughter was born, I breastfeed for an extended period of time.
Oh, so that's true. Yeah.
Even my daughter, still every once in a while, if she sees me take my shirt off or something, she'll ask about it. So I know she remembers. I know she knows what my breasts are for. And that way it will be easy. I think she'll understand that I'm feeding the baby. But I also, even as old as she'll be, I think she'll be a little jealous or want to get involved. But I did make more of an effort with my daughter, and I will try again to do it this time, to pump and have bottles available. So maybe, like, if he'll be 5 at the time, can get involved, because I think he would love that. And also, of course, any help from my husband. If I have some breast milk pumps so he can feed the baby, it will free me up to play with the other two.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Yes, and I didn't mean to make the faux pas about breastfeeding, of course.
Oh, no.
Annie, what about you? How else did, let's just say, how did you get your older children involved?
Yes. I didn't actually have any time to pump. I did breastfeeding. It was like around the clock with me and the baby and those other babies at home. So it was when she got older, though, with the solids, that's when my four-year-old, which is four, that's when my baby was eating solids. And she just was like shoveling in the food through her mouth. It was so funny. And so, yes, I did actually tandem nurse when I had the first two. I tandem nursed them for like 2 months. It was crazy.
That's a lot.
So I was glad to not do that the third time.
Oh, that's wonderful. Okay, so any other suggestions? So, Kate, you are due in March?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you don't know what it is, and you haven't told the children. Are you thinking about telling them at some point, obviously, or anytime soon, or are you going to wait to, like, wrap a box up at Christmas?
I know. I think, we've just been putting it off a little bit. The pregnancy was a surprise to my husband and I, so we hadn't really given it much of a thought about even, we just didn't plan ahead, and so it caught us off guard, and I think it will catch the kids off guard a little bit as well. And so our idea was just to wait a little bit until I'm really showing and I'm farther along. The whole month is a long time for me to wait. So I know, the kids who have no concept of time, it will be a really long time for them to wait too. So we're just sort of putting it off. But I am excited for them to know and for them to be involved in the process.
That's wonderful. And, I agree that once you're showing, it's obviously safe, because otherwise they're kind of looking at you going, what? I don't get it. There's really nothing to look at, I guess. So, well, that's wonderful. Well, good luck, Kate. I hope you'll check back with us and let us know how it went. Kate blogs at theshoppingmama.com and is on Twitter at theshoppingmama. And thank you, Annie. And I hope to see you all soon. MamaDweeb.com is Annie's website and blog, and she is on Twitter at Mama Dweeb. When we return, we are joined by Emily Kirkpatrick, Vice President of the National Center for Family Literacy, who will discuss Wonderopolis.
Even supermoms need a little advice. Here's yours. More of Mom Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome back. Our next guest is Emily Kirkpatrick, who is going to talk to us today about Wonderopolis.org. And it was created by the National Center for Family Literacy, and it's a place where parents can seek and nurture a brighter world for their children through the power of discovery, creativity, learning, and imagination. Well, I think we all need that. Welcome, Emily.
Hi, great to be with you.
Tell us about Wonderopolis and what we can expect to find at Wonderopolis.org.
Wonderopolis.org is a completely free website where parents, children, anyone who loves a child, and teachers can all visit, and each and every day the visitor will be presented with a brand new wonder of the day, which includes a very curious question, anything from why flamingos are pink to perhaps why ink sticks to a piece of paper. And through exploring the wonder of the day, parents and children and, again, educators are exposed to a variety of new vocabulary words as well as concepts. The big idea here is to pique children's curiosity and love of learning. We know that, we all began the learning process by wondering, and we want to inspire more people to wonder all the time and wonder together to cultivate a sense of learning and lifelong education in children.
Well, this is so cute. So because I'm looking up some examples right now. So each day, so it's by the calendar day, and it would be a question that's so, for example, to May 24th, it says, why was Morse code invented? So if you go to wonderopolis.org, that's the question you see, and then is the answer there, or is it designed to make the children guess and then you look up the answer?
Exactly. There's absolutely nothing wrong with guessing, and we hear from many parents that their children love to guess the answer and then check and see if they're right. When you click through the wonder of the day, you're introduced to a video and a longer passage, again, where the visitors exposed to vocabulary words and deeper concepts that explore the topic. One of our favorites from the summer was, why does poison ivy make you itch? And so through framing that curious question, we can open up a huge dialogue and exploration between parents and children. It really equates to bonding moments and important dinner table conversations. And teachers all across the country are using the wonder of the day to open up their classrooms each and every day. We're very excited when teachers tell us that students are entering the classroom in the morning with a competition among their fellow students with who actually knows the day's question and perhaps the answer to it. So we're
sparking
this love of learning. Yes, it's very exciting.
So tell me about the Wanderopolis, America's Wonder Year Adventure is launching. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
We would love all of your listeners to engage with us. 2012 will be a Wonder Year Adventure. And just this week, we have launched a search. We are looking for three families and two teachers to join our Wonder Year. We invite all of your listeners to consider applying. You can visit wonderopolis.org/wonderyear to find an application. And the year will bring to life the stories and experiences of families and children and teachers and how they bring to life the idea of a love of learning and wonder through table conversations and car rides and daily lessons in the classroom. The idea is by their showing their stories and illustrating their experiences and giving their voices an opportunity to be heard, we really believe that we'll encourage other families to adopt these wonderful literacy practices and behaviors that, believe it or not, can be quite easy to implement. So we want to showcase other people's stories in order to empower every family across the country to wonder together.
Oh, that's fantastic. So it opened actually on September 22nd, so it's already been open. Is it a contest? Do you nominate somebody or do you nominate yourself? It's more of a self-nomination process.
Right. It just launched on Thursday, so the timing is perfect. To apply, you nominate yourself, your family, or if you're a teacher, you know, again, nominate yourself through that context. We asked some very, you know, basic questions, very easy, about, you know, what you're interested in wondering about and what your family does to encourage wonder through daily life. And then we'll be following up with the applicants and learning more about them through ongoing conversation.
Oh, okay, that's wonderful. So it's the process. So when you pick the three families and the two teachers, will they be highlighted and, in other words, interviewed?
Yes.
And what happens at the end of the process?
Absolutely. So once the families are selected, we will be holding a training where we will fly the families and teachers to a location where we will train them in wonderful family literacy practices together at the first of the year, and then they will be profiled on wonderopolis.org's homepage for the entire year.
Oh,
and we'll
great.
Be helping them with their experiences and offering them very unique opportunities to showcase what they do and also learn more and, you know, enjoy a full year of adventure together.
I keep saying so wonderful,
again,
and it's wonderful.
The URL to apply is wonderopolis.org/wonderyear.
Wonder Year, one word. Okay, great. Well, actually,
correct.
Emily, we are going to take a short break, but we're going to have more from Emily and the National Center for Family Literacy. When we return, we'll be right back. Donlin in for Maria Bailey on Mom Talk Radio, and we are back with Emily Kirkpatrick from the National Center for Family Literacy. Thanks for staying with us, Emily.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Okay, so the wonderopolis.org website is where we can sign up for or check a wonder of the day, which I think is just fantastic, and you're right. What a great conversation starter for any time of the day and any age children, correct?
Correct. Children young and old, in fact.
Oh, I'm sorry, and I did want to mention your Twitter at Wonderopolis. And do you tweet out the Wonder of the Day as well?
We tweet out the Wonder of the Day as well as engage in conversations throughout the day about the Wonder of the Day. So we get some of our best ideas about future wonders through Twitter, so we encourage you to communicate with us there.
Okay, and you also, of course, have a Facebook.com/Wonderopolis. Okay, so I wanted to actually segue into your work with the National Center for Family Literacy, which is the website is famlit.org. That's famlit.org. Tell us a little bit about your experience with them, how long you've been with them, and the goals of the organization.
I've worked for the National Center for Family Literacy for 12 years and have witnessed firsthand and am very proud to have been a part of the tremendous success of the organization in moving families forward. Our mission is to inspire and engage families in the pursuit of learning together. We believe that families learn best when they learn together, parent and child. So we've developed programs over many years that have won many programs and have tremendous research behind them that help elevate families, uplift them from poverty and towards self-sufficiency, because parents gain critical literacy skills themselves and become more employable and self-sufficient while also learning how to help their children. And it's so rewarding to see young children, whether they're preschool age or elementary age, have an absolute fire in their belly about learning and education and a passion for reading, and at the same time see their parents as their most important teacher and an incredible education resource. So we really move an entire family forward, one family at a time. The organization is 22 years old, and we're growing and developing many new initiatives, one of which is Wonderopolis, and we're very proud of it. We're looking for, you know, new ways to inspire and engage with families as today's family changes so rapidly due to very hectic schedules and busy lives, and we're always listening to what moms and dads and foster parents have to say about the struggles that they have with supporting their children in education.
That's true. What I think is impressive is when organizations, a 22-year-old organization obviously has to keep up with the times as well, and the fact that you have a website, a Facebook page, an email, that's a Twitter account, those are how we also capture not only the parents but the children, because I know with my children, they just went back to school, and every teacher gave me the websites that you can go to brush up on your math skills or the accelerated reader, you know, those kind of things. So those are how they're engaging the children, and that's just the way – it's they call them the I generation. These kids have electronics. They're born with them. They don't even know what the difference is, you know, without a computer.
That is so true, and we believe that you really need to approach education and approach learning by what interests people, where their passion lies. And so when children are interested in technology, let's use that as an opening to pursue education and that passion for learning rather than push them away from it and, you know, towards more traditional methods that may not be as interesting to them. Let's go where the passion of children are. That relates to one tip that we share with moms and dads very frequently, and that is when children seem to not be inclined to read as much, they're really struggling to read, parents, you know, have to almost force them to do so. We really encourage parents to find the subject matter that's interesting to them. You know, if it's sports, there's absolutely nothing wrong. In fact, there's a lot to gain by buying a sports magazine and having your child read it. Appeal to what interests them most.
Right. I really think your mission is a very valid and a necessary one. Thank you so much, Emily, for joining us on not one but two segments. And famlit.org is the National Center for Family Literacy. Please check it out. And wonderopolis.org, again, is where you can find the Wonder of the Day, which I think is fantastic, and the nominations process at wonderopolis.org/Wonder Year for the Wonder Year Adventure, which has already kicked off. So thank you all so much for listening to Mom Talk Radio. It's been a pleasure to be here for Maria today. And please check out momtalkradio.com for this show as well as past archive shows. And you can also download your free Mom Talk Radio app for your iPhone or your smartphone at momtalkradio.com. It's on the sidebar on the right-hand side. And please also check out our facebook.com/momtalkradio.